And then the fourth cause for the arousal of disturbing attitudes is verbal stimulus. Yes. So this can be lectures and talks, and it also refers to books. Okay, so words, things that have to do with words, either oral or written. So it can be, you know, talks saying that we got in this in the retreat in North Carolina, we got in this big discussion about plan, you know, that because many people say that we're all put here to learn certain lessons. Yeah? So we got in a big discussion about this because from a Buddhist point of view, that's not the case. That's not what's happening. Okay? So, but if you go to talks where people start talking about, we're all put here to learn a lesson and your job in life is to learn your lessons and figure out what mission you have in life and what role God has chosen for you or what role the cosmos has chosen for you, you know, then that is going to generate certain thoughts that might not be so conducive for your practice. Or if you go to talks where people, we got into a discussion about this too, about karma therapy, yeah, and going back, you can read about in the New Age newspapers, you know, you pay I don't know how much money and they regress you to a past life and do therapy that way. Yeah. You think your childhood was bad, look at your past life. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, there's worse stuff than that, but, you know, that isn't necessarily conducive to your practice. You know, but the talks like white supremacy groups or, you know, fundamentalist anything. Yeah. No matter what people are fundamentalist about. So talks about that. Or TV programs would fit in this thing here. And this is, I think, we have to be so careful as Dharma practitioners, how we relate to the media. Because this one is really talking about the media in terms of TV, books, magazines, and these things, because we're so influenced by them. And if you want to know why it's sometimes hard to practice, check how much time you're spending with the media in your life, you know. And this is, the media makes it hard to practice, first of all, because if you spend a lot of time, then you don't have time for practice. But even more so because the values and things you learn in the media often excite the anger and the belligerence and the clinging and the miserliness. I mean, very seldom does media try to generate compassion in the audience. Yeah? So when you go to the movies or you just even watch TV, watch the swing in emotions you have, you know. When he kisses her, you know, what happens inside you? And when the bad guy strikes the good guy, you know, what happens inside you? And watch. Yeah? And then you can see, because we learn so many of our values from the media, and so much of the media values is distorted. And we all say this, we all know it up here, you know. Oh, yes, the media is so has so much emphasis on consumerism. But then we say that, we know that, but we don't turn the TV off, you know, we don't put it on mute, or we don't turn it off, or we don't say mantra in the car instead of listen to the radio, you know, or we don't throw all the junk mail directly in the recycling things. We kind of skim through it just in case they have on sale something that I really need. So I think it's really something, you know, maybe make it a project for a week and really look at how you relate to the media and how it influences you. Because in many ways, I mean, it teaches us to buy things. I think the media is one of the chief things that makes us very feel not very comfortable with our bodies. You know, most people I know don't feel very happy with their bodies. I always feel something, you know, I don't wear the right clothes, my figures aren't good enough, or my muscles aren't big enough, or you know, I mean, everybody has some kind of thing, I should look better. And I think the media, that you look at the magazines, you look at the billboards when you drive the car, you look at the TV, this is a lot of the message that we're getting, and we're comparing ourselves to other people. And of course, we always feel we aren't good enough. And then this kind of eats away at us on many, many different levels. Huh? So I think one thing we have to do to start feeling better about our own bodies is to stop watching TV and reading billboards and looking at ads and magazines. Yeah? Because I think that just influences us in a really... It creates so much attachment to the body and so much discomfort because we never look like the people in the magazines. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're right. It's a good experiment to do. And see how that changes how you feel about yourself, how that changes your relationship with other people, your relationship to the practice. If you, for, let's say, a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, just cut off relating to the media and see what it does. Yeah? Yeah. 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 I mean, it's the whole thing. It's not that external objects are bad and negative. It's that our mind gets uncontrolled. Yeah. When we get to a point where our mind doesn't get uncontrolled, then there's no problem with those things. So also, I think, like, it's not good to kind of completely isolate yourself so that, you know, When the U.S. first dropped bombs on Baghdad and you heard somebody say war, you said, war with who? You know? You know? I mean, you don't want to get so that you're kind of a complete space case. But the thing of spending so many hours mulling it over and what you were saying, just talking it over with friends and all the values. I mean, it's real interesting because I've been reading Time magazine, and having lived in other countries, I find so much of Time really very offensive. It's incredibly America, patriotic, rah-rah, in a way that's really, it's very, but just downright inaccurate. Yeah, I mean, it's just not accurate. And yet, you know, I think, well, this is what people are reading, and they don't have other experiences to check it out with, and this is what they believe, and, you know. And the same, I mean, how we take what the media says as true and how much it influences us. And then we shape our values about it. You know? So it almost, like, increases, you know, a certain kind of nationalistic pride. You know, you wonder why there's a lot of pride. Well, there's this, you know, a certain amount of it that we get from the media because our country always comes out looking the best. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's really so much that people feel very uncomfortable with silence. Yeah. When you get in the car, after you turn on the engine, what's the next thing you do? You turn on the radio. Yeah? When you come home, after you take your jacket off, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the TV. And even you go in another room and you're cooking or you're doing something else, just there's noise, you know? And we're kind of addictive in many ways. Just to having noise. And then we wonder why we're exhausted and we're on overload. Yeah. But I think that really when we have a lot of sense stimulation, it makes us exhausted. And that's why at nighttime we just, you know, it's like, ugh. because just so much sense stimulation that the system, you know, can't handle.
A long time ago, I came here with my mom.
Yeah, I have that. It's compulsive readers. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So even stuff that we see as useless, you know, like all sorts of stuff on the back of boxes and, you know, and the junk mail. And we just read the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. And all the billboards along the side and all the store things. Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of amusement.
Yeah, I think those things, when you run across them, it's helpful to notice because it helps you get clearer in your mind what you believe and what you don't. But I don't know that it's a good usage of time to go out of your way to look for those things, because we can spend hours and hours reading magazines looking for discrepancies. Yeah. You'll find them, right. Right. But you won't get any practice done. Yeah, the mind, it's just another form of distraction. Yeah, it keeps the mind busy doing something. Yeah, oh, it does. It does. And so I think this whole thing of how we relate to all this stuff is really very, very critical. Yeah, in terms of the time and in terms of the content and the influence it has on us. Yeah. And so it's not only the media here we're talking about. We're also talking about books. You know, what books do you read? Yeah. So do we go home at night and we read, you know, all these kind of Harold Robbins novels? Yeah. I mean, what do we pick up off the bookshelf to read? And how much time do we spend reading trashy novels or comic books? Or, you know, kind of what material do we read and how does that influence us? Now, again, I'm not saying never read a novel because I think it can be very useful sometimes to read novels. They're very, very good novels. But the thing is we have to be really careful when we read a novel or when we go to a movie to make sure that we're looking at it with Dharma eyes. Yeah, because it can be an incredible teaching on karma, on the disadvantages of the disturbing attitudes. You can learn a lot by looking at a movie or a novel from the Dharma perspective. But the danger is when we're just doing it to kind of, we say relax, you know. I mean, we say we're doing it to relax, but is our mind really relaxing when we're doing that? Because usually we're getting... you know, we're getting angry or attached or belligerent or something else is going on that really isn't very relaxing in the mind. So again, it has to do with checking up what material we read. Then the next one is habit. Well, actually, let me go back to the verbal stimulus. So we had the lectures, we had the books and the media, also discussions with other people, what we talk about with other people. So again, this is something to really, it's really interesting because, I mean, sometimes you can't control the discussion. People will bring up things as a topic of discussion and you have to respond, you know, but watch how you respond and watch how your mind runs for those things. And then watch what discussions you initiate. Yeah? Yeah? Because, okay, we're sitting there waiting with people. Do I feel comfortable with the silence waiting with the people? Or do I start talking about the weather or the sale at Nordstrom's or the Christmas dinner or something else? Yeah? What conversations do I start? And even when I'm in the middle of a conversation, I don't know if you've had this experience, but you'll kind of see a conversation going towards a particular area and you know whenever a particular subject comes up, you know, that all your anger just goes, you know? So kind of, you can see the conversation going that way and instead of steering it away, you kind of let it go that way so that then for the 15th time you can tell your story with all your anger, you know? So, you know, what we discuss with other people and how we steer the discussions, how we respond to discussions. When somebody comes to us and just complains and complains and complains, do we just kind of keep a compassionate attitude and recognize that they just need to dump and get it out, and so we just kind of listen and help smooth things over? Or do we kind of jump in and, oh, then what do they do? And then what do they do? Oh, you're right, this guy's really so bad. You know? I mean, how do we react? Yeah. So what things do we start discussions about? So another thing to be mindful of. There's a lot in here. Yeah? Yeah. And but that's okay to do if we're real clear in our minds why we're doing it. Okay? So it's we're not
Right.
When we're not clear in our mind, then we just go blah, blah, blah. You know, but when we're real clear, like I'm just sitting and chit-chatting right now because that's a way of letting a person know that I value contact with them and, you know, and that this isn't the time for a heavy philosophical discussion. But, you know, the purpose of the conversation is just to make contact. So you're real clear in your mind why you're doing it. Yeah? I mean, because especially when you go visit your family. I don't know about you, but I can't walk in my parents' house and go, okay, Mom and Dad, did you know that, you know, Jeffrey Hopkins' book, Meditation on Emptiness, on page 593. It's yeah? So, well, we talk about this neighbor and that, well, this relative and that relative, which one's getting married, which one's getting divorced, and, you know. So, I mean, if you're clear in your mind why you're talking to somebody about something, that's fine. You know, but like you said, it's when you're not clear that then, you know, we just get dispersed. Yeah. So again, it's not a thing of making yourself all uptight. Okay?